everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. These broadcasts are very special for a number of reasons, but I want to get right into the thing that's the heaviest on my heart, the thing that was so strong in me and on me as I was preaching these messages, primarily to military personnel down Fort Bragg and in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And it's so important to not get caught in life, oh no, and just get blindsided by something and then not know what to do and just set up a series of knee-jerk reactions and why me, Lord, kind of things coming out of your mouth and stir up a lot of fear. Those first few words that come out of your mouth, the first actions that you take, set the course for either victory or defeat. And I was talking to men and women that are very, very involved in training. They understand training. I understand training. I still train. I go back to flight school twice a year for recurrent training. We train the way we fly. You get in that simulator, and I mean it gets real, and all kinds of emergencies take place, and you're dealing with them. You got sweat in your eyes, and it's as real as it can possibly be without going out and crashing the airplane. Now, our military has, of course, the training that I do was born in the military and then adapted to civilian use. But I learned to do this years and years ago, the way the military trains the way they fight. We train the way we fly, but not just in that. I live the way I live. And this is something you really do need to get hold of. If it came as a big shock to you and just hit you right between the eyes when the stock market fell and, oh, my retirement's gone. Listen, if you had all your retirement in that stock market, you knew the thing was volatile and foolish and like a fickle, no good woman. You knew it wasn't any good when you put your money in there. Now, you ought not got all that shook up when it went down the tube. And if your trust and faith is in that, then your trust and your faith goes down the tube and you get into these reactions that'll get you killed. So how do you do this? Well, we're going to be talking about these things. You don't want to miss these broadcasts. I want to read you this scripture now as we go into today's message. Jairus came to Jesus and made his faith statement. He said, my little girl's at the point of death. If you come lay your hands on her, she'll live. So, but then they came up and said, your little daughter's already dead. They know you should trouble in the preacher anymore. Jesus heard it. He answered, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Jesus answered. Death spoke. Disaster spoke. Hit that man right between the eyes. But Jesus answered. Now that's the key to success. And Jairus never opened his mouth again. He let Jesus do the talking, Jesus do the healing, Jesus do the whole hell. Hey, you're going to enjoy it. Let's turn to the 8th chapter of the book of Luke. Luke chapter 8, verse 41. Are you there? And behold, or look, there came a man named Jairus. He was a ruler of the synagogue. He fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. Now, the account of this in Mark's gospel says, and Jairus said to Jesus, come lay your hands on her, and she shall live. And that's the last thing Jairus said.
He made his statement of faith. He made his statement to Jesus. Closed his mouth. And followed him. He besought him that he would come into his house, for he had one only daughter about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. Now, this woman is not just sick. Do you see this? She doesn't just have an issue of blood. Now she's broke. Obviously, she had been a woman of some means because she spent money on doctors for 12 years. But now, she's not only still sick, now she's broke to add to that. She came behind him and touched the border of his garment. Now, that Jairus had an opportunity to blow this whole deal. He's headed home. He's got his daughter on his mind. He's going to lay his hands on her, and she's going to be healed. She's going to be made well. She is going to live. He's going to lay his hands on her, and all of a sudden, Jesus stopped and said, "Who touched me?" And Jairus, what's he doing? All of a sudden, up stands this little woman. "I touched you, sir." Now, how do we know that she'd been 12 years with this issue of blood? How do we know that she'd spent everything she had and gone broke on doctors and could get no help from them? How do we know that she came in the press behind, for she had heard of Jesus? How do we know all of this? Because the scripture says that she told him all. She testified to the whole thing while Jairus is having to stand there and listen to this. Can't we talk to her later? I know that woman. She's in my church. She can talk the horns off a goat. God bless her heart. I know she's been sick and all that, but Lord, my girl's dying, man. But he had more sense than to open his mouth. And he took his stand of faith and he just stood there. Didn't say another word. He'd already spoken his faith. And he's following Jesus. Jesus stop, I stop. Jesus go, I go. And whatever he said, I'm going to do. And this becomes very, very classically important right here, because this was the key issue to the whole situation. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him. Now, he's standing so close to Jesus that Jesus, there's people crowded up around him. I mean, they're in a throng and they're squeezed in there. And Jairus is just right there by him. The woman touched the hem of Jesus' prayer shawl. He obviously stopped and said, "Who touched me?" Now he's facing Jairus. He's just right there like that. And now the man comes to, he's listening to this woman. He's ministered to her. Now this is very important. Jairus heard him minister to her. He heard him call her daughter. Well, my daughter's just as much his daughter as she is. Don't you know that helped him? Oh, yeah, and he said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. And J. Irish is thinking, yeah, and mine is going to make my daughter whole too. You come lay your hands on her and she will live. And he just stayed stuck. And then bad news hit. While he yet spake, came one of the rulers of the synagogue's house saying to him, your daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. The English word master, but the original text it says rabbi. Trouble not the rabbi any further. Well, you don't know this rabbi if you think you're going to trouble him by death. You don't know this rabbi if you think your finances have gone so far down the drain that it can't anybody get them back. You don't know this rabbi if you think just because somebody has given you some bad news about your family, some bad news about your job, some bad news about your house loan, some bad news about anything. You don't know this rabbi if you think that bad news is going to trouble him. The only trouble he has with it is if you let it get to you. And for you to turn around and say, well, I guess it's too late. Now, notice this. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him. Now, this is big. This is just gigantic. Jesus heard what that man said. The man wasn't talking to Jesus. Was he? Or was he? Now, let's just sit there and chew on that a little bit. You pick up on it. Think. If you have done it to the least of one of these my brethren, you've done it to me. Saul, why persecutest thou the Christians? No, that's not what he said. Why persecutest thou the body of Christ? No, that's not what he said. He said, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Very personal. As far as Jesus was concerned, he did not butt in since Jairus had come and turned this situation over to him. Then anything you said to Jairus, you're talking to him. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, your daughter is dead, trouble not the rabbi. When Jesus heard it, he answered him. Jairus didn't get a chance to open his mouth. Yes, no, maybe so, what all? He didn't get a chance to open his mouth. Jesus butted in on this thing. Now, Jairus had released his faith to Jesus, but now Jesus has released his faith to Jairus. And his faith, whole bunch bigger than Jairus'. Whoa. I'm mad. Don't you know Jairus said, okay. Man, make you feel like you're 3 years old and you're glad to be there. Look what he said. He answered him saying, fear not. He literally said, stop the fear. Now, he wouldn't have said it if he couldn't do it. Don't you ever stand up to Jesus and say, yeah, but I can't help it. I told you to keep your big blab mouth shut and do what the man said. Stop the fear. How'd I do that? I'll tell you in a minute. Don't leave now. Stop the fear. Believe only. Don't contaminate your faith and what you said to me back there at that boat. Don't contaminate your faith, what you're believing, with fear. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Don't do it. Shut up. Fear not. Believe only. And look at it. She shall be made whole. Now you can see, you can see where the action line is. You stop the fear and she shall be made whole. You don't, she won't. If he'd have said, "I am the Lord," she's already dead. Now, why did you let this happen to me? I have served the synagogue. I mean, I spent all them years doing all that stuff, and I don't understand why I can't get some help here. Right in the middle of all of this, I mean, God, oh, woe is me. All of that's fear-based. And in reality, when you take that kind of reaction and you strip the religion and the self-pity and all that off of it and look at it for what it really is, you really actually judged God. You should have done this and you didn't. You let this happen to me. You let the devil do this to me. That may be the answer to the question, how dumb can you get? Now, I don't care what you're in. If you've been doing that, you repent right now. Don't you even let this message go 5 more seconds. You repent right now. That is a sin. You have no business judging anybody, much less God. He's given you everything he's got. Let me tell you something. He didn't let it happen to you. You let it happen to you. The devil doesn't have any authority over you that you didn't give him. He's been stripped of everything he has. And you have the name. You have the word. You have the full armor. You've got the Holy Ghost. You've got the power of the Spirit. You've got a whole book full of powerful words of the living God, and they're right, and the authority to speak them. Jesus said, stop the fear. Fear not. Believe only, and she shall be made whole. You put your faith on the line and then you stop the fear and you believe only, you shall be made whole. You shall walk out of that financial trap. You shall walk out of that hospital room. You shall walk out of that family situation. You shall walk out free, praise God, and no demon in hell can stop you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, glory be to God. I don't preach myself happy. Glory to God. Amen, amen, and amen. So now he said, fear not. Let's turn over to 1 John and we will close. 1 John chapter 2. I'll tell you what, let's read something from 1 John 1 first. It's very significant that this verse of Scripture is in the very first chapter of this book. It's talking about Jesus in the first verse. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it. bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Why, John? So that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. John the elder, John, the very man that Jesus turned His mother over to while He was hanging on the cross, the man that wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. The same man that they tried to kill several times and couldn't kill him. They couldn't kill him. History says one time they boiled him in oil and he wouldn't die. Well, that ain't no different from the Hebrew children in that furnace. Somebody got in the barrel with him. Hallelujah. Fear not, and she shall be made. What are you going to say about that, Brother John? You may have fellowship with us. You have the same relationship with the Father and His Son Jesus that I do. And I've seen Him. I've handled the Word of Life. I know Him personally. And I've lived with Him all these many, 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 many years. And I'm telling you, you have the same standing with Him that I do. You can fellowship with me. I mean, if he was here today, he'd say, oh, come on, man. What's this apostle business, Brother Kelly? Forget the apostle stuff, brother. I mean, hey, man, you love Jesus. I love Jesus. He loves you. He loves me. We in this thing together, hoss. This is good, isn't it? Why? He was the apostle of love. Right. He had to have said that.
Yes, he did.
That's the reason they couldn't kill him. Faith worketh by love. The full armor works by faith, which works by love. The blessing of the Lord, which maketh rich, and He adds no sorrow to it, works by faith, which works by love. And perfected love casts out fear. We just tied two streams of this together. Fear not. Working, developing love casts out fear. Aha. That's the part the devil didn't want you to find out right there. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. But he's a loser. Now, these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. You having trouble? Read 1 John. Your family's in a mess? Read 1 John. Things are going bad financially? Read 1 John. He said, I'm writing this to you that your joy may be full. Well, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Yes. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Stand, stand, stand. Stand, bless God. Not lay down and cry. Stand up! If you're going to cry, do it standing up. Yes, amen. Glory.
When sudden change comes to shake your family, finances, health, and future, who will you turn to? Choose God's Word, His power, promise, peace, and provision for every circumstance of your life and stand on a foundation that cannot be shaken. Experience God's way of doing things that meets every challenge head-on and brings victory. Kingdom Principles, operating above the system of the world. A Believer's Voice of Victory DVD teaching by Kenneth Copeland and Bill Winston that will help you live above the headlines. Find out why you must choose to live in the Eden system. Learn the steps to keep you from being controlled by the world. Don't accept the counterfeit when you can have the truth. Start living every day in God's kingdom principles and experience success, victory, and the power of God's Word to overcome everything that stands in your way with Kingdom Principles. Operating above the system of the world.
You know, the wonderful thing about the kingdom of God, it is based solidly on the rock of God's truths, God's words, God's principles, so that anybody, I don't care who you are or where you come from or what your background is, anybody can act on God's word. The Apostle James says it's easy to be entreated. It is gentle and it is without hypocrisy. In other words, you can confess, I'm healed, when your nose is running and you and everything is just sounding and looking terrible and you're saying you're healed. Somebody said, why, you hypocrite? No, no, no. You're not a hypocrite when you confess the word of God. It's the word that says, I'm healed. And it is the word that changes everything. The hypocrite is the one said he believes it and won't say it. Well, anyway, kingdom principles. Operating above the systems of the world. Now, when you get DVDs like this, get the whole family in and sit down and go over these again and again so that you, and then set yourself up. You're in your life simulator. What is my life simulator? That's the closet that the Lord Jesus talked about. Go in your closet, lock yourself away, and be still and know that He is God. And you take these things like from Luke 8, there where they told Jairus his daughter was dead. Well, what if you got that kind of information? Well, you begin to meditate those scriptures and you see Jesus. And instead of Jairus, it's you standing there. And they're bringing you some kind of bad news. And oh, man, oh Lord. And they hit you with something else. You've lost everything you got. Your house burned down last night. What are you going to do? What's the first word coming out of your mouth? It took too long. Start over again. So you go back, you take the same biblical principle, and you go over it through your mind, and you let it come up in there. Fear not! Oh, you say, okay, I stop fear. I'm not afraid of evil tidings. And you stand on the 112th Psalm that makes that statement. You understand? Your life simulator. You're meditating on the Word of God day and night. And God told Joshua before he went into combat, meditate on my Word day and night, and you will see in there. You will observe how to carry out all of my statutes and my commandments. Praise God. You'll see it. And then when it happens, you'll think, I already know what to do. And it'll just be a reaction to you. We'll see you. Until then, Kenneth Copeland reminding you that Jesus is Lord.